For almost as long as it's been around, which is longer than many people think, Las Vegas has fascinated America. It's been seen as an escape valve, a tourist trap, a visitor's haven, and a frontier for dreams, a place where excess and vice is not just overlooked or tolerated, but rewarded, even celebrated. A new documentary called Las Vegas, An Unconventional History, details the city's fascinating and sordid past and the lives of the people who live there today.
It's not a deeply introspective culture. It's not about the interior life.
It's a 3557.
There is no gap between the thought and the act. It isn't like, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I?
Hey, am I going to walk you down the aisle and give you away?
So that kind of hesitation and contemplation is not really a part of this culture.
Las Vegas will debut next week on PBS's The American Experience. Stephen Ives produced the program, and he joins us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
You know, there have been so many explorations of Las Vegas, let me put it that way. Why this one? What did you hope to achieve?
Well, I just felt like it was Vegas was on our radar culturally and nationally to such a degree that it seemed like a barometer of our values and ideals at this moment, for better or for worse, and I thought it deserved some attention.
Las Vegas is older than a lot of people think, or than at least I thought.
Yeah, Bugsy Siegel did not invent Las Vegas, surprisingly enough. It's been around for 100 years, and it's done a lot in that 100-year period. I mean, it was a dusty railroad town, and then the sort of spark that created the city really was the Hoover Dam. And the city's always been able to sort of reinvent itself and figure out a way to bring people into the middle of the Mojave Desert. And the way they figured it out was to start catering to the forbidden desires of Americans. Mm-hmm. And they've done that better than anyone else ever since.
I want to talk about the atom bomb. because an important part of the development of the history of Las Vegas is there was a time in the 1950s when these things were being tested, atom bombs were being tested at the rate of once a month within literal sight of Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I love that episode in Las Vegas' history because they didn't treat the detonation of thermonuclear devices 65 miles away from their city as a problem. They simply said, let's become Atomic City USA. Let's have bomb parties on the rooftop lounge of the Desert Inn all night so you can stay up drinking and gambling and have a cocktail in your hand when you watch the blast go off at dawn. At least in the 50s, they were struggling to become part of the mainstream. Being able to be part of what they felt was a patriotic effort to help win the Cold War was a thing that they latched onto and said, as the publisher of the local paper said, here's the reason, we found a reason for our existence as a community, which I think is a kind of revealing both about Las Vegas's past and about their vision of what they wanted to be mm-hmm. in terms of their relationship with the rest of the country.
Mm. One of the I think, nicest things are the vignettes of, if you please, the real people of Las Vegas that are often lost, or people that will, you know, that you might pass in a hotel because they work there, but obviously know little about their lives. And let's introduce a clip. This is from a woman who was made in what hotel, Mr. Ives?
The Bellagio.
This is indeed the best move I ever made. I wasn't established in California. I went there in 1970. I never bought a house, and I never owned anything. And when you get in your 40s, you have to own something, you know. So as soon as I moved here, I got my jobs, got a new car, got a new truck, got a new house, and only been here 6 years. I cleaned up.
What has made Las Vegas a magnet for so many Americans like her, fastest growing city in the country?
Well, I think it's sort of like the new Detroit in a way. It has a heavily unionized workforce. There's no hinterland. There's no place where labor is easily accessible. So there's always been a labor shortage, generally speaking, in Las Vegas. And so the casinos have had to cut deals and give employees benefits and good pay that they haven't been able to do in other parts of the country. And so this is a place where people can come with a high school diploma and get a decent job and live a middle-class life. And that ideal, I have to say, even during the 2 years that we spent making this film, is under pressure. Mm-hmm. The housing boom has really hit Las Vegas hard. The cost of land is skyrocketing. So that's a real question for the city. Is it going to be able to continue to provide the kind of affordable housing and quality of life that makes it possible to keep this happy, motivated workforce available?
I have to bring up something that I notice a couple of reviews have noted. Your program is in part underwritten by the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority and University of Nevada at Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a problem for you? Should it be? Does it have the appearance of promoting the interests of the funder?
No, one great thing about working in public television is that there's an absolutely indestructible firewall between funders and filmmakers, and there's absolutely no editorial influence that a funder can possibly have on what I do or what I say. And I'm sure there's parts of the film that the LVCVA would wish weren't there. I think, it's a film about the history of a place, and I don't see a conflict there. I mean, it's not like I was doing a corporation's bidding and promoting something that was a product or anything like that.
Is Las Vegas becoming more like the rest of America, and is the rest of America taking on some aspects of Las Vegas?
Oh, very much. I mean, I think if you look at the whole 100 years of Las Vegas, I think you see that over time, the two, Las Vegas and America, have really come together. It's still marketing sin as aggressively as it ever has, if not more so. But it's just not as surprising anymore. And I think the country's become a lot more like Las Vegas, which is why Vegas, of all places, now feels like sort of the epitome of the mainstream in this country.
You spent a couple of years filming in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the what they call the one-armed bandits or the roulette wheels or Baccarat?
Oh, yeah.
Of that?
Yeah, I'm $200 down for the project. I lost it all at blackjack. But that's what I love about Las Vegas is, it's about money, but it's very upfront about it. And I love that about the place. I love that the odds are posted. If you want to sit down and ruin your life, you're welcome to, but no one's going to stop you. Mm-hmm. You have to be an adult. The rest of the country is often about exactly the same thing. We're just not as honest about it. We're not as direct. And in Vegas, it's very upfront. And I find that kind of liberating in a way.
Mr. Ives, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I've enjoyed it.
Stephen Ives, producer of Las Vegas, An Unconventional History. It airs next Monday and Tuesday on The American Experience on PBS.